Have you ever read something and it seems pretty straightforward, but you just have this feeling like there's something more there, like something deeper you're not quite grasping?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're diving deep into these things called verbal ideas,
Verbal
and
ideas.
we're going to try to like uncover all these hidden meanings and stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how often we run into those
Right.
without even realizing it.
And to help us out with this, we have an expert in linguistics joining us for this deep dive.
Happy to be here.
So,
It's these concepts that are kind of disguised as nouns or adjectives, but really there's an action hiding in there, a hidden verb.
ooh, that's sneaky.
Yeah, like they don't want you to see them.
So, give us an example. Like, what would that look like in real life?
Well, think of the word faith.
Okay,
Seems like a simple noun, right?
yeah, just a thing.
But it actually implies the action of believing.
Huh.
That verb is baked right in there, even though we don't see it directly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a really good example. I think I'm starting to see these hidden verbs everywhere now.
They're all over the place once you start looking for them.
So, to help us unpack all this, we're going to be looking at some excerpts from this lecture by Dr. George Payton. He's an expert in Bible translation. He really breaks down why these verbal ideas can be so tricky.
And tricky they are.
Right. And he even gives us a process for figuring out, their full meaning.
Yeah, one of the key things he points out is this gap problem that verbal ideas create.
That problem.
Yeah, like imagine you're trying to follow a recipe, but some of the ingredients are missing.
Oh, no.
That's kind of what it's like when a text relies on these verbal ideas without clearly stating the action, you know?
So you're saying we're left trying to like fill in the blanks ourselves.
Exactly. And that can lead to all sorts of misunderstanding.
Oh, that makes sense. It's
Yeah.
like we're missing pieces of a puzzle and it makes it hard to see the full
A
picture.
very frustrating puzzle.
Definitely. And I can see how this would be especially important in something like Bible translation, where accuracy is so crucial.
Absolutely. But it's not just the Bible, though.
Oh, really?
No, these gaps can pop up in all kinds of writing.
Like what?
Well, think about news headlines, legal documents, even just everyday conversations. Understanding how to spot and fill these gaps, it can help us all be better communicators.
So it's a valuable skill for everyone.
Yeah, and it makes us more critical thinkers too.
So it's not just about understanding these, ancient texts. It's something that can help us in our daily lives.
Exactly.
That's really fascinating. Now, Dr. Payton doesn't just leave us hanging with this gap problem, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He gives us a process for uncovering those hidden verbs and bridging those gaps, right?
That's right. He lays out a four-step approach, and it's actually surprisingly easy to follow.
Really?
Yeah, the first step is to identify that underlying verb, that action that's tucked away inside the noun or adjective.
Okay, so for baptism, the hidden verb would be to baptize. Pretty straightforward.
Right.
What's the next step?
Well, the second step is all about figuring out who or what is involved in the action. Who are the participants?
Okay, but what if it's like an abstract concept?
Even abstract concepts can be participants.
Oh, interesting. So even if like it's not actually doing the action, it's still like a key player in the sentence?
Precisely. And that's where Dr. Payton's process really starts to shine. Because by naming all the players you know up front,
Yeah.
we avoid making assumptions or misinterpreting what's going on.
Okay, we've got the hidden verb. We've got all the players involved. Now what? What's step number three?
Step three is where we start putting things back together.
Like a puzzle.
Exactly. We're going to restate that sentence using a nice, clear verb that shows exactly what happened and when. And of course, we'll explicitly name all those participants we figured out earlier.
So we're taking that fuzzy sentence with the hidden verb and turning it into something that's clear and leaves no room for confusion.
You got it. Dr. Payton gives a great example from Acts 4:1. The original text says, "There is salvation in no one else."
Yeah, I can see how that's kind of vague.
It leaves a lot unsaid, right?
Yeah, like who's doing the saving and from what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But using this process, we can rephrase it as, "There is no one else who can save people."
Oh, wow, that's so much clearer. It's like night and day.
Right. Now we know exactly who's doing the action. Someone is saving, they're saving people, and the fact that no one else can do it.
Wow, that's amazing. Just by making the verb and the participants clear, we've completely transformed the sentence. It's like going from a blurry picture to like high definition.
And that's the beauty of Dr. Payton's process. It's not about adding extra stuff or changing the meaning.
Right.
It's about revealing what's already there, making it accessible to everyone.
So the fourth and final step is to translate, or in our case, understand the sentence, right?
Right. And that's where the real aha moments happen.
I bet.
You start to see how those seemingly simple phrases were actually hiding so much meaning.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's like we've been given this decoder ring for language. And Dr. Baton shares some pretty incredible stories from his translation work. They really showcase just how powerful this process can be.
Oh, yeah. One that really stands out is about the translation of Mark 1.4 into the Yakuza language.
The Yakuza.
Yeah, the team was presenting the new translation to a Yakuza church, and they asked the bishop,
okay,
who's also the pastor, to read the verse out loud.
Wow. I can only imagine what must have been going through his mind as he's reading those words for the first time in his own language.
Yeah.
What was his reaction?
He was just overcome with joy. He started laughing and said it was so clear even a child could understand it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It really shows you the power of clarity, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about conveying information. It's about making it accessible to everyone.
Absolutely.
And there's another story about a Pagoma elder, right?
Oh, yeah. This elder, initially, he didn't really see the value in having a Bible translated into his own language.
Interesting.
He thought Swahili was good enough.
So what changed his mind? What made him realize that, you know, having a translation in his heart language was so important?
Well, the team was doing a final read-through of the Pagoma New Testament.
Okay.
And when they got to Mark 1.4, this elder was just completely moved by the clarity of the new translation.
Really?
Yeah, he said he'd never truly understood that verse before, and it resonated with him so deeply that he actually canceled all his other appointments to be a part of the final review.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful stuff.
It is.
These stories really show just how impactful clear communication can be. It's not just about accuracy, you know, it's about connecting with people on a deeper level.
For sure.
And it makes me wonder, what other kinds of texts could we unlock using Dr. Payton's process?
Oh, any text where meaning might be obscured by those verbal ideas?
Okay.
He actually gives an example from John 1.28 in his lecture. The verse says, John appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Hmm. Yeah, on the surface, it seems pretty straightforward.
Right. But when we apply those four steps, we start to see the nuances and layers of meaning that we might have missed before.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Let's break it down.
All right, so first we got to identify those underlying verbs.
The hidden actions.
Exactly. So we got baptize, preach, repent, and forgive.
Okay, so we're starting to see those actions hiding in plain sight.
They were there all along.
What's next?
Then we identify all the participants.
Mm.
You know, we've got John, the people he's baptizing, and God.
Oh, okay.
And remember, even abstract concepts like sins can be participants too.
Right, they're like characters in the story, each playing their part.
Exactly. Now, here comes the fun part, step three. We're going to rephrase the sentence, making those verbs and participants super explicit.
I like where this is going.
So instead of preaching a baptism of repentance,
yeah,
we might say something like, John was preaching that people should repent from sinning and he would baptize them.
Okay, and instead of for the forgiveness of sins, we could say, and God would forgive them for sinning against him.
Precisely. Now, notice how much clearer and more vivid that becomes. We can picture the scene, understand the sequence of events.
Yeah.
The meaning just pops right out.
It's like we've taken this flat two-dimensional image and turned it into a vibrant three-dimensional scene.
Exactly. And I imagine this process would be especially helpful when translating the Bible into languages that don't have abstract nouns.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, how do you translate a concept like love if the language doesn't have a word for it? It seems impossible.
Well, that's where this process comes in handy. You have to unpack that verbal idea, identify the underlying verb and participants, and rephrase it in a way that makes sense in the target language.
So instead of just saying love, we might say the spirit enables a person to love others.
Exactly. We're
right.
Turning that abstract noun into a concrete action.
Huh.
We're showing what love looks like in action, which makes it much more relatable and understandable.
Brilliant. It's not about forcing a word into a language where it doesn't fit. It's about finding a way to express the concept so it truly resonates. And this isn't just about translating abstract nouns, is it? This applies to any verbal idea, even the ones that seem simple.
You got it. It's about capturing the essence of the meaning, the function of the phrase.
Okay.
Dr. Payton uses the example of a participle phrase like coming to Jerusalem. You know, in some contexts, it might describe a process.
Right.
But in others, it could simply be a time phrase, like when he arrived in Jerusalem.
So we have to consider not just what the words mean on their own, but how they're actually being used in the sentence. The context is key.
Precisely. Understanding the grammar unlocks another layer of meaning. And that's why Dr. Payton really encourages translators to work together. you know, to discuss these nuances and find the best way to express the meaning in that target language.
It's a collaborative process. Different perspectives and insights can really enrich the translation.
Absolutely.
It's about more than just finding the right words. It's about conveying the intended message in a way that's clear, natural, and impactful.
For sure. And that emphasis on collaboration and clarity is something we can all learn from, even if we're not translating ancient texts.
It's a good reminder that effective communication requires intentionality. You can't just passively read something and expect to get it. You have to actively engage, ask questions, and dig deeper.
Be like a detective searching for clues to unlock that hidden meaning.
I like that.
And the more we do it, the better we become at spotting those subtle cues that we might have missed before.
Dr. Payton also talks about how different languages prioritize verbs or nouns, which can actually influence the way we think and communicate.
That's a great point.
English, for example, is very noun-driven. We tend to focus on the thing rather than the action.
Right. It reminds me of something Dr. Payton said about Swahili. There's a verb-driven language. So a single word in Swahili can convey an entire sentence in English because that verb carries so much information.
Wow. So the very structure of language itself shapes the way we perceive and express ideas.
It really does. It underscores the importance of being aware of these linguistic nuances when we're trying to translate or even just interpret a text.
Yeah, we can't just assume that our way of thinking is universal. We have to be open to different ways of constructing meaning. And that's where this process of unpacking verbal ideas can be so valuable.
Exactly. It's a tool that helps us bridge linguistic and cultural gaps, making meaning accessible to a wider audience.
Mm.
And it's not just about translating between languages. It can even help us understand each other better within the same language.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It reminds me of something Dr. Payton said about how even people who speak the same language can have different understandings of a word or phrase.
Right. He gave an example from his work in Tanzania.
Yeah.
There was this Swahili word that the translation team thought they understood.
Okay.
But when they really dug into it, they realized that they had different preconceived notions about what it meant.
So even within a single language, there can be these subtle variations in meaning.
It can be tricky.
It makes you realize how complex communication really is, even when we think we're speaking the same language.
Absolutely. It underscores the importance of clear communication. Taking the time to define our terms and make sure we're all on the same page.
We can't just assume that our understanding is the same as everyone else's.
Exactly.
So what have we learned so far on this deep dive into verbal ideas?
Well, we've discovered that verbal ideas can create these gaps in understanding, making it hard to grasp the full meaning of a text.
Right.
But we've also learned that there are tools and techniques we can use to bridge those gaps.
By identifying the underlying verb participants and the function of the phrase,
exactly,
we can unlock those hidden layers of meaning.
We can bring those ideas to life.
And this isn't just relevant to Bible translation. It's a skill we can apply to any text we encounter.
News articles, legal documents.
Even casual conversations. Yeah, it really is like learning a whole new language, the language of hidden meaning. And the more we practice this skill, the better we get at, you know, deciphering those clues that can unlock a deeper understanding.
Deeper understanding of the world around us.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive into verbal ideas, what's the main takeaway you hope our listeners will remember?
I'd say the most important thing is to remember that meaning, it's rarely just sitting there right on the surface.
It's more than meets the eye.
Yeah, it's like an iceberg.
Yeah.
There's way more going on beneath the surface than what we see at first glance.
We can't just skim and expect to fully understand what's being communicated.
You got to be willing to dive in.
Dive deep.
Exactly.
Mm.
Don't be afraid to ask questions, to challenge your own assumptions, and to explore different perspectives. The more you engage with a text, the more it'll open up to you.
And don't forget Dr. Payton's process, identify the verb, the participants, and the function.
It's a powerful tool.
It can really help you unlock those hidden layers of meaning.
Those little gems of insight that might have stayed hidden otherwise.
It's like a key that unlocks this whole new world of understanding, a world where words come alive.
They do.
With deeper meaning and purpose.
That's a great way to put it.
So next time you're reading something that feels a bit elusive, you know, don't just skim over it or settle for a surface level understanding.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Pause, reflect, and ask yourself, what's the hidden verb here? Who are the players? What's the real story they're trying to tell?
You might be surprised at what you find when you start digging a little deeper.
You might even surprise yourself.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into this fascinating world of verbal ideas. We hope you enjoyed exploring this with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And remember, next time you're reading anything, whether it's a news article, a novel, even a text message,
yeah,
don't just read the words, look for the meaning behind them.
Happy exploring, everyone.